Now today, in our study of the Bible, we come to the book of Genesis, chapter 10. For most of our listeners, that is those who listen day by day, you are now conversant with the fact that we are going through a systematic study in this first book of the Bible. If perchance this is the first day you've tuned in to this broadcast, then this is the Bible Fellowship Program. This is Mr. McNeil speaking to you now, and we are going through, as I have indicated, a study in the book of Genesis. We have reached chapter 10. Let me read a few verses from the chapter. Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the flood. Now verse 5. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, every one after his tongue, after their families, in their nations. Now verse 20. These are the sons of Ham, after their families, after their tongues, in their countries, and in their nations. Now verse 31. These are the sons of Shem, after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations. These are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generations, in their nations. By these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, we come to Thee again, desiring help. We thank Thee that we have an open sanctuary, with an invitation to come at all times to the throne of grace, here to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we come to Thee now in this attitude of complete dependence upon Thee. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would ask Thee for a blessing upon all who are listening now to this broadcast. May the Lord's name be glorified thereby. We ask it in His precious name. Amen. Now, I would suggest that here in chapter 10, there is set before us the classification and the limitation of the nations of the earth. In chapters 10 and 11 of the book of Genesis, we have the historical links which connect for us the time of Noah with the day of Abraham. Chapter 10 gives the facts of the development and dispersion of the nations, while chapter 11 relates the circumstances that led to that dispersion. Now, the moral principle that underlies chapter 10 is very important. It is that we should be able to trace things to their origin. To know the source of things gives insight into their character. And it is a scriptural principle of interpretation that we should trace things to their beginning. Remember, a river never can rise above the level of its source. So when you're going through the book of Genesis, remember it is the book of beginnings. One has called it the seed plot of the Bible. And whatever truths you learn in the Word of God, you'll discover you can trace them back to their origin, and they'll go back to the book of Genesis. So here we have the beginning of things. We have the beginning of the different nations. The beginning of the different languages will come out in chapter 11. But here now in chapter 10, we have an introduction in verse 1, because you'll notice in that particular verse 1 of chapter 10, it says, "Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the flood. Now, chapter 6, 7, 8, and 9. These chapters, you will recall, directed our attention to the condition of things prevailing in the world prior to the flood, and how God called Noah. We learned how God gave the pattern for the ark, how Noah submitted himself to the warning of God and built the ark. Then Noah came out onto the new world, and in coming onto the new world with his wife and his three sons and their wives. And now, the Spirit of God in giving us this record directs our attention to the development of things from the three sons of Noah. At the end of chapter 9, we have the picture of Noah coming out onto the new earth. Then there is a little incident recorded there regarding the sin of one of his descendants. Of course, there is also the record of the sin of Noah. Remember, my friend, that prior to the flood, Noah lived an upright life. And he lived that upright life in the midst of wicked and sinful men. Yet he comes out onto the purged earth, when everything there is beautiful again, with a new start. And the first picture we have of Noah is that of a drunken man. Now, isn't it strange that when God set Adam, first of all, in the garden, he put Adam in the very finest environment, and Adam failed. Noah comes out onto a new earth with everything suitable for him. God gives man a new start, and man immediately proves himself to be a failure. And then you follow through the development of things from his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And from these three sons, the earth will be populated. Now remember, if God gives the blessing of fruitfulness, you can rest assured it will be fulfilled. What God has promised, He is able to perform. That exactly is the history of things from Genesis chapter 10, the performance of God's promises. Now verses 2 through 5 tell us something of the sons of Japheth, leading to the conspicuous and cultured nations. The fifth verse is the important verse in this section, where two words are used for the first time, namely, Gentiles and tongue. The use of the word tongue would indicate that this is referring to what happened after the events recorded in chapter 11. We shall discover that when we come to study that chapter. But you see, verses 2, 3, and 4 are simply giving us the development of these different people who came from Japheth. And then the summation of it is this: by thee were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, every one after his tongue, after their families in their nations. Of course, when you read the word Gentiles in the Bible, you think of that as the nations. And so therefore, we think of those nations who developed from Japheth. Now, notice then that he speaks of lands, divided in their lands. That's suggesting something geographical, the lands. That is, it defines the territory that they occupied. Now, it's a strange thing, when you come over to the New Testament, there is a most interesting passage in one of the sermons preached by the Apostle Paul when he was in the great city of Athens. And he says, speaking of God, "And hath made of one blood all nations of men." You see, Noah came out from the ark, and from Noah they're developed through his three sons, the three ethnic groups of humanity. But then he says, "God hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." So it has been defined beforehand. So we have the geographical outline given here, their lands. It defines the territory that was occupied. And then it speaks of the tongue, that is the language. If the first was geographical, this is dialectical as to their tongue. "By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue." There'll be more said about that when we come to chapter 11. And then it says, "after their families," that's tribal, different families. And it also speaks of the nations, there it is national. So the first defines the territory occupied, the second relates to the language that they spoke, the third their immediate descent, and the fourth the national group to which they severally belonged. Having said these things about the descendants of Japheth, then there is quite a lengthy section, verses 6 through 20, and this deals with the sons of Ham, leading to a cursed nation. Now, the outstanding consideration in this section would be that from Ham there develops the three main sources of opposition to the people of God. Now, I think that is a key to the understanding of this section. Later on, as you're reading through your Bible, you'll discover that a certain nation developed from Abraham. We shall begin our study of that when we come to chapter 12. But before we come to Abraham and the nation that developed from him, here we are presented in chapter 10 with the development of other peoples. And these people are those who are going to show opposition to the people of God. Now, it's good if we can get back to the beginning and understand the origin of these people. And if you read down through this section from verse 6 right through to verse 20, again you come to this statement, "these are the sons of." This time, these are the sons of Ham, after their families, after their towns, in their countries, and in their nations. You will discover that the three main groups that develop from Ham are these: Babylon, Egypt, and Canaan. Now, it's worth noting that, because these three sources will come up again and again as you study through the Bible. You ask yourself, well, what was the origin of Babylon? Who were the Babylonians? What was the origin of Egypt? Who were the Egyptians? Who did they come from? And who were the Canaanites? Where did they develop from? Then special mention is made in this section of a man called Nimrod. Verse 8 says, "And Cush begat Nimrod." Then we're told something about Nimrod. It said, "He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel." Now here then mention is made of Nimrod, and he is the rebel. He's also called the hunter and the king. Now you will remember that a hunter is one who stalks his prey and kills. And he's also the rebel. He's a killer, but he makes himself a king. Here is the record of the beginning of Gentile political life, and it is a figure of how Gentile political life will end by being controlled by a great rebel and ultimately overthrown by God. You should note the contrast between man's choice, a leader, who is termed here a hunter, one who kills, and God's choice of a leader, who is a shepherd king, one who cares for the flock. So therefore, verses 6 through 20, you have the record of the development of those who developed from Ham and his sons. Now when you come to verses 21 through 31, we read of the sons of Shem, leading to the chosen nation. I cast your mind back again to the end of chapter 9. When Noah was speaking prophetically, he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem." So the blessing of God fell upon Shem. "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Then God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." So it's very important that we take special note of the line descending from Shem, for the blessing of God rested on this man. You will remember when you read in the New Testament concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus, that the wise men saw a star in the east, which directed them. They followed the star, and it led them to the Savior that was born. May I suggest, as you read through your Old Testament, the star you should follow there is the star of the promised blessing. We've already noted that the Messiah would come, the Redeemer would come through the channel of the human race, Genesis 3:15. Now we learn at the end of chapter 9 he will come through the particular section of the human race developing from Shem, the son of Noah. And this is the important line to follow. The devil will do everything to get us sidetracked, get us occupied perhaps with what happened to Japheth, while that is important, or what happened to Ham, while that is important. The most important thing of all here, the prominent thing, is what happened to the line of Shem. And so therefore, in this section, the prominent name is Eber. And so therefore, verse 21, "Unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder, even to him were children born." And you follow down through from Eber, and you discover that you come to the line that's going to lead you to Abraham. From Peleg the line develops to Abraham, who becomes the father of the elect nation through whom would come the Messiah. That is the important matter. And so therefore, when you come to verse 31, again these are the sons of, and this time it's the sons of Shem, after their families, after their towns and their lands, after their nations. So when you come to these verses 21 through 31, the sons of Shem leading to the chosen nation. I remind you again that in the book of Genesis, you are examining God's history concerning the race of humanity. Of course, as we've seen, it's divided up into nations. But it's only when you really come to the book of Exodus that you begin to follow through the history of God's chosen nation known as Israel. And from the beginning of Exodus right throughout the Bible, you're reading what God has to say about that nation. And if the other nations are mentioned, they are only mentioned incidentally as they have some connection with that chosen nation. But here in the book of Genesis, the foundation is being laid, and we're seeing the development of different nations. Now when you come to verse 32 of chapter 10, it says, "These are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generations, in their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood." Let me remind you then, in conclusion, families are the foundation of human society. See then what has been said in this chapter about families. These are the families of the sons of Noah. Now, it's a good thing that we can face this, that families are the foundation of human society. If you can destroy the family life, you can destroy human society. That is exactly what the devil is trying to do. Now, as one generation succeeds another, and God's blessing of fruitfulness is enjoyed, the family may increase into a nation. But the family circle still remains the basis of all healthy human life. For, as one generation passes away, then that man's sons move out and set up homes of their own, raise their own families, which means the family circle still remains the basis of all healthy human life. Now remember, the trend of this modern age is to weaken family life, and hence to loosen the foundations of a noble, healthy society. The modern educational system and the so-called welfare state, with the idea of majority rule and popular vote, all add up to the neglect of family life with its personal responsibilities. And it leads us to a point where we'll idolize the nation or the state. That is, we become worshippers of the state, worshippers of man's form of government that does away with family responsibility. May I press home upon every listener today, there's a need for us to strengthen the ties of family life. Keep the family together. It has often been said the family that prays together will be the family that stays together. Well, that may be true if we keep the right perspective on prayer. That is, if we keep a true relationship with our God, we shall keep a true relationship with one another.